What is sin according to the Bible? 1 John 3 and 4 says, whoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If you are a Christian, I want you in your head to define what sin is. And then I want you to go ask another believer, go ask your pastor, go ask someone, one of your religious friends, one of your Christian friends, go ask them to define sin. When you say to a person, that person is sinning, you see people putting in the comments all the time, this person is sinning or that person is sinning. Let's define what sin is.
Sin is not what you think. But what does the Bible define it to be? So 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. What law is being talked about there? That's probably a different video. But without the law, we have no knowledge of what sin is.
Anytime I speak to a believer about God and I ask them to define the word sin, no one can do it. Even though the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even though the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. However, no one can give you the plain written text form from the Bible of what sin is. Thankfully, the Bible defines itself, and in 1 John 3 and 4, it tells us plainly that sin is the breaking of God's laws. For to sin is to break God's laws, his commandments, and his statutes. The only way you can sin, you hear people saying that I'm sinning by wearing earrings. The only way you can sin is if you break one of God's 613 laws, commandments, or statutes. That's a synonym. It's also commonly known as the laws of Moses. It's also commonly known as the Torah or the instructions. What is sin according to the Bible?
As it reads in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, whoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
What is sin according to the Bible? This is so good in these last days. We really got to hammer this home and really understand this. I'm not going to get too deep off into this because I go on this for a long tangent. But I'm going to mess with some of y'all theology because we've been taught that sin is just whatever the society says is immoral. Instead of us going to the plain text of what God says sin is, look at this, Leviticus 5 and 17. If anyone sins and does what is forbidden of any of the Lord's commands, to sin is to do what is forbidden of the Lord's commands, not your opinion, not my opinion, but the definition of sin is breaking God's laws, commandments, and statutes, as it says in 1 John 3 and 4, and then backing that up and confirming that in Leviticus 5 and 17, that sinning is doing anything that is forbidden of the Lord's commandments. Mostly when I ask people what is a sin according to the Bible, they say to me that it's something bad, that it's something immoral. Oh God, I'm going somewhere. Listen to this. When I was in college, I took this class, this critical thinking class. And the professor said in the class, check this out. Imagine that you are a train operator and that you're riding on a track. And then on the track's about to split and it's going to go two different ways. And you get to choose which way that train is going to split, which way it's going to go, right or left. On the right side, let's just say it's the president of the United States or some prominent figure in your mind. On the left side is two children. Which way do you allow the train to split? God, I'm going somewhere. Do you allow for it to split and go hit the kids? Or do you allow for it to split and go hit that prominent figure, whether it's the president or whether it's Martin Luther King or whoever in your mind you believe is prominent? God says in Exodus 20 and 13 that thou shalt not murder. The point of this example is that whatever side you choose, whichever way you choose to make that train go, it's based on your own morality. Oh my God, help me. Based on how you were brought up, based on what environment you were grown up in, based on what country you are from. Because even in the class, everyone had a different answer. Oh, I go left because, you know, I hit the brick because I don't like the brick. Depending on who the president is at the time, you know, Obama was president at the time. So, you know what I'm saying? But depending on who the president was at the time, you might not like them, you know, so you might say, I'm going to go right. Depending on, you know, whether you did like them or not, you might say, well, you know, this person is too prominent and they are in control of so much. And, you know, maybe more people will die if we kill them instead of killing. Oh, my God, help me. But it's based on your own morality, meaning that morality is relative when it comes down to humans. Morality is relative when it comes down to us. So if we leave the definition of sin up to people, we will always get a different answer every time.
But God's law not only covers every deed of outward life, it also penetrates to those intents and purposes and motives of the heart. The person that doesn't yield to the claims of the law of God sets themselves above God.
Which is why the true definition of sin can only be answered by God in God's word, because only God can determine what is right and what is wrong, what is sin according to the Bible. I'm preaching right now.
So let's establish this. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Sin is transgression of the law. What law would that be, I wonder? If anyone says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. This is you, Ryan. You say you don't need the commandments. Here's the call for the endurance of the saints. Who are these saints? The ones that keep the commandments of the Father and their faith in Yeshua.
What is sin according to the Bible? Psalms 119 and 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Deuteronomy 6 and 25. Look at this. And it shall be to our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. So observing God's laws, commandments, and statutes, listen to this, is righteousness. That would mean to not observe his laws, commandments, or statutes would be bad, or would be evil, or would be sin. I don't want this message to go too long, because I could be on this all day. I'm telling y'all, I could really be on this message all day. Matter of fact, I'm gonna do a long form version of what is sin, shameless plug, on my exclusive channel at ministries.leodunson.com. I'm gonna do a long form on that, because I could go into a long tangent on sin. And we can get into that deep, because my whole life people have said I am sinning, or you are sinning. They say you sinning if you have sex before marriage. Show me that in the Bible. Show me the scripture. They say you are sinning if you have sex before marriage. But where the scripture at? They say you are sinning if you go drink alcohol. But where the scripture at? Now, you are sinning if you're an alcoholic, or you're an addict addicted to weed, or addicted to cocaine, crack, whatever. If you're an addict, like a drunkard, an addict, a wine bibber, then yes, you are sinning. But to go have a glass of wine, to go party, to go drink, it's not a sin. It's not in a God 613 laws, commandments, and statutes. But let me give you an example, then I'm gonna get out of here, because I don't want this to be too long, because I can go on this subject, I'm telling you, for a long time. So look at this. For example, having sex with your sister, is that a sin? Is having sex with your actual biological sister, is that a sin? My God. I don't know if y'all seen some of the videos lately, but I've seen videos lately where people have been marrying their sisters. I've seen it. Just like having sex with an animal. Is that a sin? You understand what I'm saying? If you go through the New Testament, for the New Testament believers and Christians, show me in the New Testament where it says that I can't have sex with my sister. It's not in there. And what they'll do is go to a scripture that says sexual immorality. And I just showed you that immorality or morality is relative. Do you see what I'm saying? They will go to something that is arbitrary. Oh, God, help me preach this thing. But check this out. We know that Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, in order to populate the earth, had sex with their sisters. Oh, my God. Matter of fact, took their sisters as wives. Jubilee, the book of Jubilee 4 and 9. And Cain took Awan, his sister, to be his wife. And she bare him Enoch at the close of the fourth Jubilee. The book of Jubilee is also known as the little Genesis. So this is the beginning story. So this is the Genesis. I want y'all to see this, because some people believe that Genesis is a part of God's laws, commandments, and statutes. And I say that it is not. That God's laws, commandments, and statutes, for me, it starts at when he says, thou shall not. That from that 613 on is when it starts. Exodus 20 into that, you know, on from there. When he says, when God says you can't do this, or you can't do this, or you can do this, those are the 613 laws. I'm talking about the laws of Moses, the Torah. And I'm proving that right now, because in Genesis, you could have sex with your sister. That was not outlawed. Lord, help me preach this thing. But if you go to Leviticus, to God's laws, commandments, and statutes, God outlaws you having sex with your sister. Leviticus 18 and 8. Look at this. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. That would dishonor your father. God is saying, check this out, another sexual immorality, all that depending on your relative morals, depending on what you believe moral is. Can I have sex with my dad's wife? I'm not talking about my mom. I'm talking about him and my dad break. I'm not talking about my mom, but I'm talking about your stepmom, so to speak. Come on, somebody. You know, that's a fetish of a lot of people, to sleep with their dad's wife. Oh, she bad. Dad got it like that. You know what I'm saying? Might have to knock her down, right? God is saying you cannot do that. God is saying that is immoral. That is a sin. But if you go to the New Testament and only live off the New Testament only and say, oh, the New Testament tells us what sin is. Well, it only says sexual immorality. And immorality is going to be based off of what country you live in and how you were brought up. Because theoretically, here in the United States of America, it is not illegal for you to have sex with your dad's wife. That is not illegal. That is not immoral. Oh, well, you know, they was together. Now we together. I mean, it's people doing that right now. But let me continue on it because I want you to see the sister thing. Leviticus 18 and 9. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she is born of the same home or elsewhere. What is sin according to the Bible? What is sin according to the Bible? I had to go on this deep tangent because we recently talked about interracial marriage, interracial relationships. And I actually went into detail on that on my exclusive channel as well, because I did leave some parts out because I didn't want to confuse anybody on what is sin. Oh God, on how you're sinning if you're in an interracial relationship or not. Ah, we get in that another time. But also, like, for example, gay marriage. Gay marriage is not outlawed in America. Gay marriage is not immoral or a sin or bad or evil in America. It's not. You cannot go to your job right now and say that it's immoral to be gay.
Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body.
If you live in America right now, you work at McDonald's or wherever the hell you work at the corporate office in Chase, you cannot say it's immoral to be gay. So which means that you can say, oh, I believe that in my heart. That's what I really believe in my heart. But you won't say it. So that means that America has a different morality standard than God. And then now people are growing up under these laws and they have different morality standards than God. Oh my God. So to just say sexually immorality is general and it is relative. What I'm trying to explain to you that is God's laws, commandments, and statutes are direct. The plain written text, not interpreted by me. Oh God, help me preach this thing. Not interpreted by me, not by your bishop or not by your pastor. You want to know what God's laws, his commandments, his statutes is, what God believes is moral, what God believes is righteous. You don't got to listen to your bishop or your pastor. You can go from Exodus, oh my God, 20 on Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the 613 laws and commandments of the Torah or the instructions of the laws of Moses, and that will tell you what God believes righteousness is and what sin is. Eating pork is not outlawed in America, even though it is outlawed in some countries, and some countries believe that it is immoral and filthy to eat pork. America doesn't believe that, but God's laws does say that it is immoral and that it is a sin. Nothing is a sin. Nothing is a sin. Or nothing is immoral unless God says it's immoral or it's a sin for the believer. Oh. And just like a great professor, Lord help me, just like a great professor on the first day of class who gives you a syllabus. When you go to college, on the first day of class, they give you a syllabus which outlines the do's and the don'ts for this class. This just says you can do this in this class and you can't do this for this class. It also tells you what you got to do if you need to make up some work for unintentionally missing a class. I get in that another time, but in Leviticus 4 tells you what you got to do for unintentional sin. Do you see what I'm saying? God is the same way. And just like a professor in the syllabus tells you what you have to do to get a passing grade in the class, God also outlines these things clearly in his laws, in his commandments, in his statutes, which are synonymously called also his instructions. In Matthew 19 and 16, coming from Christ, Yeshua, teacher, what good thing must I do to enter eternal life? What must I do to go to heaven, teacher? Tell me. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. What's funny about that, right? Is Christians break that up because the guy goes on to say, oh, what did he say? Oh, I keep the commandment. I think he said, thou shalt not kill, something like that. Love your neighbor. And then he jumps to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Or Christ says, oh, yeah, goes through a few commandments and then also says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? What they don't talk about is that love your neighbor as you love yourself is Leviticus 19. Because they try to say when Christ told him to keep the commandments, he was only talking about the 10. But Leviticus, love your neighbor as you love yourself, is Leviticus 19. I think it's 18. So God, Christ was not just talking about only the first 10 commandments. Matter of fact, let me give you another example. You think Christ ate pork? That's not in the 10 commandments. We clearly know that Christ and the disciples and the apostles did not eat pork. That's also not in the Ten Commandments. So that means they were following all God's laws, commandments, and statutes. And we can go on and on and on. We know Christ followed God's laws, commandments, and statutes. We could show how he even observed Hanukkah, but I'll get into that another time. Revelations 22 and 14. Look at this, because this is so good. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So there you have it right there. Precept upon precept. Stating that in order to go to heaven, Christ said, well, look, the guy had Christ. Look, I'm a good man. I'm out here. You know, I'm tired. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But what do I got to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Christ said, keep God's laws, commandments, and statutes, period. And then it says at the very last chapter, in the very last book, oh my God, in the Revelation, it says that blessed are they who do his commandments. Not blessed are they, I know them. Yeah, I know the commandments. I know, I think it's 600, I think it's a few, you know what I mean? 613 plus. I don't know. I know them, but I don't do them. God, help me. Show us, Lord. Show us the way. Give us your power. Give us your strength. Give us your focus to do your word. Not just be hearers of the word, but to do your word. My biggest problem my whole life with being a believer and being a so-called Christian was Christians always hear the word, but they do not do the word. If you can do anything and be a Christian, you can be gay and be a Christian. You can do anything and be a Christian. It don't matter. It don't matter. You can literally do anything and be a Christian. There is no doing. See, when I was in the army, they gave us instructions. This is the outline right here. This is a uniform code of military justice. This is the Constitution. These are the laws and the statutes that we must follow. And we got honor and we got duty. We got loyalty. You know what I'm saying? This is what we're supposed to do in selfless service. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to live by. But as a Christian, you become a believer. I never forget when many times I've been baptized, but I never remember, forget, you know, when you become a believer, you say, where do I start at? Ask any pastor today that's a Christian pastor, where do I start my Christian journey at? You know what they tell you? You know what they tell you? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This doesn't give me no outline. When I get baptized, oh my God, and now I'm saying that Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I get baptized, and now I'm saying that I want to follow after Yahuwah. I want to follow after Yeshua. I want to follow after Christ. I love you, and I want to keep your commandments because you died for my sins, the sins that I break, the transgression of God's laws. You died for those sins, and now I want to follow you by keeping the ways of God. What should I do? They should tell me to go follow, to go read Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Numbers. They should say, now this is what you should do. Now go read the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, and go meditate on that word day and night. Show yourself approved. If you really read that scripture, you say, show yourself approved by reading his laws, commandments, and statutes. I know I'm going on a tangent, and I'm sorry. I probably already went longer than I wanted to go. And I said, I'm going to make this short so I can do the part two of my exclusive channel. This is the Bible study for this week. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Oh my God. Revelation, that's Revelations 22 and 14. And then Christ also doubled that up by saying, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, if you want to go to heaven, you want to reign with Christ, the thousand year reign with Christ, which is coming up real soon. You want to go to heaven and reign and rule? That's what you want to do? He said, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. That's what he said. That's what he said. So to sin is to not keep those commandments. Oh, my God. And to be righteous is to keep those commandments. Matter of fact, Christ also said, what is it, Matthew, I believe it's 5 and 19, that, oh, my God, I'm going on tangent again, but the one who will be called great in the kingdom of heaven is the one who teaches these commandments. The one who will be called least in the kingdom of heaven is the one who don't teach these commandments. I know I'm going on a tangent. I pray that this was edifying and inspiring to bring you closer to the Most High Yah, to the Most High Yahuwah. Lord, we thank you. Oh, God, we praise you. We praise your high holy name. Oh, my God, I pray that this message brings you closer to Christ, brings you closer to Yeshua, who the world knows as Jesus the Christ. In Christ's name, shalom, shalom. Talk to you guys soon. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Leo Dunson Ministries. I got Son here with me. We are going over this message. You ready?
Thank you for watching and thank you for listening. If you would like to send an offering, please send it to leodunson.com/donate. You can also go to Cash App, money sign Leo Dunson. And may the glory of God and his blessings be upon you.